rise and join in our quorum call to worship.
Thank you.
In a moment, we will confess our sins to God. I will lead us all in prayer, and may we all pray with a spirit of repentance and hope. Repentance in that we choose again to turn away from our sins and back to God. And in hope, a sure and certain hope that all will come to Christ in faith, however large their faith, receive the complete forgiveness of their sins. Let us pray.
Lord, on this day of rest, on this day before we celebrate the value of work, we confess to you that we sometimes work too much and sometimes work too little. We choose to set aside you and your claim on our lives. We think that our lives are dependent on our labor and not yours. We stand apart from the people we work with because we don't like them, and so they don't like us, and our witness is in vain. We measure our value and the value of those around us by the world's standard of significance, and so miss out on practicing your grace. Forgive us for our grumblings and careless judging, and give us your grace to see the people in this world, including ourselves, in your light of love and meaning. We pray this in the name and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. When we pray in Jesus' name or proclaim forgiveness in Jesus' name, we sometimes wonder what that means. It means that we are praying or proclaiming with His authority and not our own. It means that what we are doing is given in service to the cause of Jesus Christ and for His glory in the world. And we ask God to make that hope real. We know that God forgives all who come to Him through Jesus Christ. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Given the peace of God through the forgiveness of Christ. Peace, wholeness, relationship, hope. And so I invite you to share that peace with each other, and not only with the people here, but when you leave this place, to share the peace of God with them.
May the peace of God be with you. Thank you.
Our first reading is on page 1 of the Pew Bible, chapter 1 in Genesis, verses 26 through 28. And then God said, "Let us make a man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." This ends the first reading.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Susan. I'm just going to give a little commentary on that passage right here where it says exercise dominion. That's a nasty word in today's society, dominion. But if you were here when I talked about this account, the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of God's rest, I said that people have been put here to exercise God's dominion over the entire world, to care for this world, to be kings and queens as God is the king over all the universe. And God doesn't stomp on us. God gives us life. And so when you hear the word exercising dominion, think of exercising life over this world. And if what is happening is not exercising life, well, then say that's not what the Bible's talking about in exercising dominion. But I'd like to read from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. You'll find that on page 843 of your Pew Bibles, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The word of the Lord. When I was growing up in New Jersey, school always started the Wednesday after Labor Day. It was a bittersweet holiday. Here, kids and teachers get a Monday holiday off because they've already been at school, which I imagine would make it a much happier holiday. Tomorrow, though, is Labor Day. Not a day to dread the start of school or a day off from school, but a day we celebrate the contribution that everyone who works makes to the good of this world. It's not a church holiday like Easter, but it is a day the church celebrates because we recognize that the work of all the Christian people, all that we do is also our calling and vocation from God in the world. All that we do is service to God, our work, our play, our lives. But it wasn't always that way in the church. Before about 500 years plus ago, the church only considered the full-time church-related work of a monk or a priest or a nun as the kind of work God would have any interest in at all. Anything else God looked down on, or so it was thought. But then Martin Luther came along and began teaching that all of our work, when done trusting God, when done in faith for God, is pleasing to God. He wrote, quote, "The work of monks and priests, however holy and arduous they may be, does not differ one whit in the sight of God from the work of the rustic laborer in the field or the woman going about her household tasks. All works are measured before God by faith alone." Erastus was a believer in Jesus, and he was also the Corinth city director of public works. The Apostle Paul earned his living making tents. Baziel and Oholiab were artists in all sorts of materials who helped build the tabernacle for the glory of God. All worked and all glorified God in their work. We can too. Our work is something that brings glory to God in advance of the kingdom of God. In light of that, I thought I would make the word work into an acrostic, having each letter represent a word that tells us something about our work as it relates to God and others. So let's jump right in. The first letter of work is W. And what might that represent? I thought of a number of different possibilities, but I finally settled on the word worrying. But not the kind of worrying that we're called not to do. It's a different kind of worrying. The worry that means attention to fine details. You worry at something until you get it just right. Paul was a tent maker, and if you want to make a waterproof tent, you have to worry about the fine details of your stitching. Beziel and Oholiab, I have a hard time saying Oholiab. I try to make it even sound like I know it's confident, but it doesn't work all the time. Oholiab were involved in making another tent, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, when God met his people in their wilderness wanderings. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 3 and following, we read that they were filled with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. And they served God in what they did. Erastus had to be sure to get all the fine details of managing the grand city of Corinth, or people would suffer. Not the Corinth in New York, near where I came from, but the Corinth in Greece, where Paul wrote to the first and second letters to the Corinthians. In your work, do you work worrying at your work? Paying attention to detail and making sure everything is right, as Paul and Erastus and Baziel did? Or do you just let it slide, doing just enough to get by? Which do you think God wants you to do? That question leads right into the next meaning coming out of the spelling of work, the O, which I can see reminds us that our work is our offering to God and our offering to others. What kind of offering might we give that would honor God? Abel and Cain both brought their offerings to God. Abel of the best of his flocks, and Cain of some of his harvest. God was pleased with Abel's offering of the best, but not with Cain's offering of just some. Malachi 1:8 reads, When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. God isn't pleased with offerings that aren't representing a heart full of love for him. If our work is seen as an offering to God, then it should be the best work that we can do. How can our work be an offering to God? Remember, Jesus said, "Whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me," in Matthew 25. If we help someone, we're helping God. We're helping Jesus. On the other hand, Numbers 5:6 says, "If any man or woman who wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to God, to the Lord, they are guilty and must confess the sin they have committed." Whether we help or whether we hurt, God considers it that we're doing it to him. Every bit of our work can contribute to the larger good of our world. What we would do for a paying job helps our company, that's why they pay us, and the pay helps us, to be sure, but it also helps our families, our communities, and our world, and in helping them, we are blessed and glorifying God and blessing the Lord. Many people are retired from some paying job, or perhaps never worked at a paying job. But all of us have worked, and I hope we are still working for the good. My mother told me about one time when my older brother was sick and stayed at home from school. My mother worked at home. She was a homemaker. He told my dad, "Boy, Mom has it easy. All she does is watch TV and talk on the telephone." My mom would roll her eyes at that. I thank God for the special work that she poured into my life, but she never got paid a cent for it. So our work, whatever it is an offering pleasing to God when we do it, knowing that we are helping others as well. Do you realize that your work, whatever it is, touches the world with God's grace? The next letter in work is the letter R, representing two things, recreation and recreation. If our work is an offering from God, it's an offering that God has first given to us in creation. All that we have comes from God. And by using our skills and abilities, we get to work alongside of God in the task of making this world a better place, recreating our broken world into what it should be. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 calls us God's fellow workers. God works in the world, and we're co-workers with God. When I worked as a chemist, people would sometimes ask me, "How can you be a chemist, a scientist, and still be a Christian?" They thought, as many people do today, that science disproves Christianity. But I would tell them that I believed in God who created the universe, and that what I do as a scientist, as a chemist, is simply discovering ways of putting things together that God had already made possible through creation. I get to discover the mind of God, I would say. I think it was the great scientist Isaac Newton who first said that, but it's still something that speaks to both my heart and my mind. Our work, all of it, is participation in God's work in the world. We get to worry at our work until it's right. We get, as God made all things good, we get to serve others through our work and so glorify God. And we get to realize that God hasn't abandoned us, but is working right alongside us to fulfill God's good and perfect will. What could be better? But without the hard, determined work, worrying work of recreation in honor of God, we wouldn't really be able to enjoy the rest of recreation. Tomorrow is Labor Day, celebrating the contributions of laboring people, and we don't celebrate it with more work, but with recreation and rest. God worked for 6 days and then rested, not because he was tired, but as a celebration that he was ruling over all creation and that all of creation that he made was very good. We're made to work. More about that in a minute. But we're also made to rest as well. We get in trouble when we don't do both. As the saying goes, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. But on the other hand, all play and no work makes Jack a dull boy too. In the past, men were particularly susceptible to the idea that work is what defines them as individuals, though in more recent years that mistake is becoming more common among women as well. One big trouble with that is when a person retires, they don't know what else they can do with their life other than work, except maybe to die, and that is what too many people do too soon after retirement. Work is a good thing when it is about doing the best that we can for the glory of God and when we make it our offering to God. But we lose out when we forget that our work and recreation are both on God's agenda for us. We might quit working for a paycheck, but I hope that none of us ever quit working, using our skills and abilities for the glory of God, recreating, restoring the world. And even then, when we work, I hope that we will always remember that God wants to add to the mix of work, the blessings of rest and recreation. I struggled with finding a word that would go along with the letter K. But I finally decided that since I wasn't a very good speller in the first place, I would use the word cultivation, spelled with a K, even if my spell checker really didn't like it. Cultivation points back to the Garden of Eden, where God made everything very good. Now you might think that if everything is very good, then to change something would be to make it worse. But God gave the man and the woman the task to subdue the earth, to exercise dominion over it, to tame it, to rule over the fish and the birds and the animals. We often think of rulers as only benefiting themselves, and we see that far too often. But the ancient Israelites, and I hope us, today would see the duties of the rulers to cultivate with a K those they rule, to fertilize and water the worn out soil where they live so they might grow. That's what God did in the garden, giving them a model to follow. They didn't, and look at the trouble that's caused us. We are, as God's redeemed people, can cultivate the world around us by our work, turning the soil by our attention to details, planting the seed by caring for those around us, and preparing to reap the harvest that God causes to grow. We might not think that our work will result in anything that will last into eternity. But the world is, as Jesus said, God's harvest field. He told his disciples to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest fields. And then, in answer to their prayer, Jesus sent them out into the world, and we are the result of their going. You are already stationed in the midst of the people who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. God has put you in your work, whatever it is, to work for the glory of God. Will you pray, "Lord, send me"? Tomorrow is Labor Day, and the day after that can come the answer to your prayer. Now you have an opportunity to share your stories of where you've seen God at work, where you've been planted. I encourage you, if you wish, to ask me any questions about my sermon, but to share what God is doing in your life. Yes.
About 3 weeks ago, I was over at the park on the evening when the cars got all broke into, and I came back to my car to find out that the young girl to the left of me had her car broken into, and somebody to the right of me had theirs broken into. But mine was totally safe, and the policeman said it was randomly. There was quite a few of them that had gotten broken into. And it just made me realize that God's protection around my vehicle for whatever reason, but I just praise God because it was the first time I have ever put my purse in my trunk. I've always never done that.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, Amy.
On Labor Day, I just remember everyone in our family was really like, my sweet husband has been, we're so happy to have him home, retired. I think of my dad working in the mill, my grandfather working in the mill, and supporting their family. So it's a special day of remembrance.
Last week, I went to the iron furnace down southeast of Pittsburgh somewhere, 70-foot tall iron furnaces, and seeing the work that those men had to do, having a plug of a stream of iron coming out this big, molten iron, and they're standing right next to it, and seeing the splashes of iron on things a couple feet up in the air. From that, and said they had to work. And the Pittsburgh Iron Works put out more iron during World War II than the rest of the country. And it's amazing what people have done. Okay, well, thank you. Now we can share our joys and concerns with each other so that we can pray for each other. Oops. Looks like I missed some things, didn't I? Supposed to have the offering and the doxology, the affirmation of faith, all sorts of things. Let's go back a little bit. I know I'm not supposed to say whoops, but that was a big whoops. You're always welcome to wave your hand at me and hold up the bulletin. Please rise for the affirmation of faith you'll find in your bulletins. We affirm our faith touches our everyday lives. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That your care in creation is greater than anything that we can imagine, and that you are at work in our lives, preparing good works for us to do. Help us, Lord, to do them. We give these gifts to you as our offering, the offering of our work, and we ask that you would use these gifts for your glory, and you would use us for your glory. In the world and into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 216, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, the second tune.
Thank you.
can continue our worship by sharing our joys and concerns with each other. Yes, Mary Ann.
Our next door neighbor had a heart attack early yesterday morning, so pray for him. I guess it's a very small staff at the hospital, so they can't really even do his heart attack until Tuesday. So he's stuck in the hospital now.
Okay. So your Mary Ann, your neighbor Dominic, had a heart attack, and he's in the hospital right now. Pray for him.
And also, my counterpart, my granddaughter's other grandma, she went in for a knee replacement on Monday and has never come out of the hospital. They think she might have had a stroke during the surgery, and she's very confused and agitated, and have a neurologist coming in to see what's going on.
Okay, so your daughter's mother-in-law had knee surgery and had a stroke, possibly, and last Monday, so she'd be in for a week now, and they're having a neurologist come in and evaluate her. So pray for her as well. What's her name?
Val.
Val? Okay. Thank you. Yes.
I'd like to continue prayers for my brother Larry and my sister Ruth Ann. They're both still in the hospital. They're doing some testing. They're coming along.
Okay. So you're Rick, your brother Larry, and sister-in-law Ruth Ann, and who is in the hospital? Who?
Brother Larry and sister Ruth.
Oh. Okay, so, and they're both in?
Yes.
Okay. Both in the hospital. That's taking family togetherness too much. Yes. Yes.
My son-in-law, Dave, had some advanced cancer and had surgery this last week. And according to the pathology reports, It was a good surgery, so I thank God for that.
So Susan Reed's son-in-law, Dave, had advanced cancer, and he had surgery, and the surgery reports came back well. And you had surgery as well, and you're recovering from that as well, too.
Thank you for your prayers and cards.
Yes, Bob.
We're going to need some prayers for travel this month. To see grandkids in two different places in the family before Sue has surgery and back in.
Okay. So, Bob and Sue, right? I'm getting it.
You got it.
Okay, you're going to be traveling, and then to see grandkids and things, and then Sue, you're going to have surgery sometime in the near future.
Back surgery at the end of the month.
Back surgery at the end of the month. Okay, well, we can pray for you. Yes?
Jeannie sent in a prayer request for a girl named Julie Grant, who has epilepsy that's been happening more frequently. Prayers for Julie.
Okay, for Julie Grant, a friend of Jeannie, who has epilepsy. Yes?
I'm going to need to go see an oncologist. I had Wilbur come back and they can't tell what's wrong with it, so they're trying to get me scheduled in with an oncologist.
Okay. Julie, right? No. Denise. Sorry, Denise. Okay, Denise is going in for some tests for oncology tests. So we'll pray for you. Thank you, Denise. Yes, Mary Ann.
I pray that the sale of my house goes through.
Okay, Mary Ann asks us to pray that the sale of her house will go through. Yes?
joy to have Susie on the organ this morning, and I appreciated her prelude this morning. She played Holy, Holy, Holy on the piano, and it seems that it's usually on the organ, and it just sounded so fresh and new to me. Maybe I missed it before, but it was a blessing by the piano.
Thank you, Jim. Jim gives thanks for Susie's playing and appreciated the prelude today on the piano. Okay, well, let's come to the Lord in prayer. I'll begin, and I'll invite you to be so bold as to come before the throne of God, which we're told that we can do that because our God loves us, and to pray silently or out loud, and then we'll close together with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we are your people, and we as your people recognize our need, because we know that we can't save ourselves. We need your grace and the forgiveness that we have in Christ. But Lord, we need you for so much more, many more things than that as well. We know that you provide for our daily needs, and we ask that we might seek your kingdom first, that we might be a people of love, so that others might see you and know that, see us and know that we are your disciples. Lord, work in our lives, so that this church might be a place that draws people in. May we be a people who draw people to you. Lord, send us out so that we might be workers in your harvest for your glory. There's so many things, Lord, to be thankful for. We thank you for the Denise's purse in the car, that in the trunk that led to her car not being broken into. We thank you for all of those who have worked and blessed us in so many ways. We ask that we might be grateful to you. We thank you for the skills that we have that we share with others, and the skills that others have that they share with us. Lord, hear our prayers as we come to you, for we are your people. Lord, we thank you for the care that we see of people bringing up the needs of others. We pray for Dominic as he is seeking healing for his heart. We pray for Val, that you would bring healing and blessing to her. We thank you for Rick, son and daughter, Larry, or brother and sister, Larry and Ruth Ann, both in the hospital. And for Susan's son-in-law, Dave, the good news that he got. Draw him close to you. We thank you for Susan's successful surgery, too. We pray for Bob and Sue as they journey and care, visit with family, and for Sue as she journeys through the trials of back surgery. We pray that you would bless and bring healing to her through that. We pray for Julie Grant, and we lift up Denise and ask that you would be with her as she walks through uncertain times, certain of your care. And for Mary Ann as she seeks to sell her house. But most of all, Lord, we pray for your glory Help us to hunger and thirst to see you lifted up high and full of glory, not only in our sight, but in the sight of our neighbors and those we love. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn is hymn number 304 in your red book, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Service, our work in the world has begun. So go forth from this place and serve our Lord using his strength, for he works powerfully within you all. Go in peace. Amen.